Let's pray. God, you are the air that we breathe. You are our life force and our love. God, please open our hearts to your word. Amen.
Amen.
Today we heard from Paul's second letter to Timothy. This letter contains many themes, warnings against false teaching, how to cope with suffering. It talks about praising and offering up thanksgiving, and relying on the truth that is brought to us from the Holy Spirit. Paul praises Timothy's mother and grandmother for their great faith, but then tells him that he needs to go a step further, that Timothy's great faith calls him to do even more. It was 47 years ago this week that Reverend Troy Perry founded the first MCC church. God was calling him to do something more, to step out from the great faith of those who came before him and create something new. Now, a lot of us know this story, but I'm not going to make the assumption that everyone knows this story. So bear with me as I tell a little bit about the story that I so love of how we came to be here. Troy Perry, good old Southern boy from Tallahassee, was rejected from his church where he was a pastor as he came to understand his sexuality, and he greatly struggled to figure out who he was. Having been rejected, feeling this call from God to be a pastor and not able to live into that call, he lost the will to live. He went through some heartbreak with a boyfriend and just had nothing left. And so he tried to kill himself. As he was in the hospital recovering, God told him to start a church. Now, of course, this is a very condensed version of the story, but what happened was that God spoke to Troy Perry. This person who had nothing left. He was completely empty. His bucket was empty. He couldn't make it through another day. I know many of us in this room have been to that place. Thank God that we have survived to be here today. Yes. And thank God for Troy Perry, that he had the strength to survive that rock bottom place, and that he had the strength to listen when God said, you need to start a church for your people. He didn't know how he was going to do it, and so he thought, you know, someday I might do this, but I don't know when. And God said, you're doing it now. Since then, we have come to love this worldwide movement, sharing God's love and grace with all people, teaching the world that God does not hate us for who we love. What a tragedy that we have to teach people that lesson, that the assumption is that God starts off with hate and maybe finds enough grace to love a few of us. What a mess. What a mess that Troy Perry is saving us from by us living into his vision for a church. We, of course, have grown much bigger than he could have imagined when 12 people gathered in his living room. He promoted the church by putting his own home address in The Advocate, which, of course, was a much smaller magazine at the time. But what a risk in 1968 to put that out there. I think I got my math wrong, but it was 1968. It's 40-something years. To risk putting out your home address, your name, out there where people wanted to kill people for who they loved. But Troy knew that his mission, no matter what, was to spread the grace of Christ. In the gospel lesson, Jesus talks to his disciples, and the disciples say, "How do we increase our faith?" And Jesus tells them, "All you need is faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can perform miracles." Then he kind of goes on to, it seems like, maybe admonish the disciples a bit, seemingly comparing them with worthless servants. So, this is troubling. There's a lot in this book that is just really complicated. And somewhere along the way in the history of Christianity and Christian tradition, we decided that these complicated things in Scripture are there in order to scold us and make us feel bad for ourselves. What's worse, people have decided that this Scripture, not just this, but Scripture in general, has been used and should be used to justify oppression. This word that's translated as servant is often also translated as slave. There's quite a lot of debate among scholars about what the proper usage is. And it's dangerous today to read this passage that seems to say that slavery is the way to go through our modern lens. This pericope is what it's called. When you take a little bit of scripture and hold it up as the one thing, the pericope, it can be misleading and dangerous when interpreted the wrong way. When you hear something in Scripture that sounds kind of strange, there's usually a reason for it, and there's usually somewhat of a lack of our ability to understand. So let's understand this passage in which Jesus says, when your servant has made you a meal, you don't invite the servant to the table with you, through the lens of Christ, not through the lens of 2016 American culture. Understanding the passage in a Christian context, rather than just as people who follow Christ, but thinking about it as being like Christ. We no longer get stuck in this problem of assuming that our faith in the one we believe in is an individual faith that has nothing to do with community. This passage is about relationship. The relationship where the servant serves the master, because that's what the servant does. We serve not expecting reward. We serve for the sake of service. So it isn't saying that some people deserve to be servants and some people don't, but rather this relationship of doing what we do just because we do it, not asking for more faith so that we can get more rewards later, but just living in the faith that we have and trusting that our faith, even if it's a tiny little seed, is enough. The disciples want more faith. They want it to be bigger. And Jesus responds with something very small. All you need is the tiniest little bit of faith, and you can achieve anything. I would imagine, I've never asked him, but I would imagine that on that day when Troy Perry realized that his suicide attempt was unsuccessful, if you asked him how much faith he had as he chose to take his life, to attempt to take his life, he couldn't even find a mustard seed. He probably thought he had none. But as it turned out, he had faith that would transform the world. The work that we do that was started in October of 1968 changes the world. We save lives all the time. We save lives right here in this building all the time. This is a healing place. This is a place where God's grace and God's mercy is alive. I have sat with many of you, and there are many people who came long before I was here who will tell you that when they decided to end it all, because life is hard, that they gave it one more shot and said, I'm going to go to church, walk through these doors. And those people are still alive and their faith continues to grow. That is what it means to be MCC. The disciples asked for greater faith because they knew the struggles ahead of them. And they didn't know that they were already equipped. What we do with that little bit of faith, that little mustard seed, whenever we can only pull together that tiny bit of faith, is magical. In fact, coming from a place of not having enough, thinking you don't have enough, living in that scarcity mentality, and being able to pull through and create something new and beautiful and vibrant, what a blessing that is. I would rather start from a place of feeling like I don't have enough faith to get me through a journey and make it than to have an easy walk the whole way. So what is faith anyway? What is this thing called faith that the disciples want more of? I'm going to guess that maybe people in this room feel like they need some more faith, that you need some more faith. Sometimes I certainly feel like maybe I don't have enough faith. But what is it? How does it get us through? The secret is that you don't need a lot of it, because it's not a quantity. It's a way of being. It is a way of living. And when we don't know that we have enough, that is precisely when faith, when the Holy Spirit is moving the faith inside of us, calling us to transform lives. And it's not just about the big, dramatic, life-changing, someone's about to die, they come to church and are saved. It's also about the mundane. It's about coming here week after week and weeknight after weeknight for meetings and classes and struggling together as community and learning and growing. It's about figuring out who's going to lead us. Who's going to lead us as a denomination? It's about being in that place of fear and anxiety together. Because transformation is scary. We're going to make an announcement tomorrow. No sneak preview, sorry. I know. I have been asked today, you know, since I'm on the governing board, if I could like leak the info. No. But we will be making an announcement tomorrow about who our interim moderator is going to be for MCC. Kathy says, we won't tell anybody. It's being broadcast on Facebook, so sorry. What's that? It's your camera. So, tomorrow you will get an email. It's not me. Praise God. But what we know, what we all know, is that we are called to do amazing things. We are called as a church. We are not just one leader. We offer up gratitude and thanks for Nancy Wilson, who retired this week, for the ways that she has led us as the moderator. Yes, thank you. But just as this church is not Troy Perry and is not Nancy and is not the next person who is going to lead, it is all of us. All of us and our faith makes this church happen, makes this church possible, and brings us through this world in a loving way to share God's grace and God's mercy. So the question is not and never has been, do we have enough faith? The idea that this mustard seed quantity is enough tells us that we definitely have enough faith. The issue at stake isn't quantity of faith, but how we live together in community. How do we keep coming back day after day and recommitting ourselves to love, recommitting ourselves to family, recommitting ourselves to who we are called to be? recommitting ourselves to this thing we call faith? How do we lead each other in joy instead of down paths of destruction? Because we know, I keep saying it, we know that life is messy, people are messy, church is messy, and we just have to come back to love. Because it's so much easier to fall into that destructive place. It's so much easier to complain than to risk the vulnerability that it takes to love each other. But faith is not something to be amassed in great quantities. There's no faith warehouse that we can stash away our faith. It is meant to be shared, and it is meant to grow in community. It is what pulls us from the brink, pulls us back from the brink of destruction and death into new life in Jesus Christ. In MCC, we are called to do something new. We are called by the grace of Christ to be transformative, to be radical and welcoming. We are called to transform ourselves as we transform the world. We were entrusted with this, even though Troy Perry didn't know that that's what he was up to. We are entrusted today with that little mustard seed of faith that Troy discovered on the day that he chose to live, on the day that he went on to found this church. And now we are called to be good stewards of that faith. Will you join me in being radically welcoming, radically inclusive, and sharing God's love? Amen.